This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of Mason-Dixon Line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Southern Collective Podcast. Guys, this is going to be a fun one. We haven't done one of these in a long time. And I promise you that I was going to keep finding, or that I would work to find, a new way to introduce these podcasts instead of something like, we've got a fun one. Problem is, I have a blast doing this shit, and I enjoy bringing it to you guys, so I'm thrilled to be on the phone with a dude until very recently had facial hair, and that's throwing me off. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. I'm kind of worried I had the wrong guest on, but we've got a legend of the Virginia Deer Woods, a legend of the Patreon group. We got Mr. James Moffitt, dude. What's going on?
What is up, man? How you doing? I'm riding high. Good season. Been a good day.
Yeah, dude. I'm digging the backdrop here with all the books and the dead things. Like, that's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a man cave.
Yeah. It's funny because it was a man cave that is currently being converted into a nursery.
Oh.
So, I don't know, like, how much longer it's going to be the mm-hmm. way it is, but it's for now, this is what it looks like. So.
There was a collective groan, I'm willing to bet, from a variety of guys who listened to that and knew exactly what you were going through. I'm going through something similar. So I used to have a lot of really cool stuff on this wall. Mm-hmm. And then my wife got a promotion and outranks me. And so at work. And so she now has to have a backdrop that she feels comfortable with. And for some reason, two dead critters, a dead fish outline, some random little photo and arrows just doesn't work for her aesthetic. So all my stuff is going on that wall and all her stuff is going on that wall. So I've got to figure that out here in the near future. But
Yeah, I know that feeling for sure.
It's a juggle, man. But dude, let's give everybody kind of the 411. Who are you? How long have you been part of the Patreon group? Kind of tell everybody a little bit of your backstory.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess like a good way to introduce it is I'm an adult onset hunter. I've been hunting. Actually, like I got a Facebook memory on the last Saturday, which is the opener of Rifle here in Virginia. That was like a picture of the first buck I'd ever killed. Also the first deer I'd ever killed. So that was like 4 years ago. And then, since then I've gotten like a lot more into it and had a lot more success and have like in some ways oriented some of my business and work around it too, like running Trailhead. We definitely work with like hunting brands and brands in the outdoor space. And that's why I originally got hooked up with Parker, because we were just like, hey, we're like kind of the same dude. Like obviously we have similar tastes in music, both have a bunch of tattoos, both live on the East Coast, like are not what you would expect from like a deer hunter in a lot of cases. And we definitely don't look like a lot of the meat eater dudes and stuff like that, even though I'm wearing like a meat eater hat. But you know, it's, so we just like kind of became buddies, just like talking about that and like kind of, you know, pointing out the fact that we had like some similar interests in history and whatnot, and talked about doing some collaboration together and whatnot. And from that, like when the Patreon came around, I joined up, I guess it was about summertime of this year when I joined up, just kind of like getting more involved with the community that you guys are building. And that's been really fun. Like I've gotten a lot of good, like information. It's a good place to have like a sounding board to ask questions for like tips and tricks and strategy and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously the gear swap is nice. And then talking to you about the new bike setup that you guys are working with has been fun, just since I have a history as, you know, being a bicycle mechanic and racing bikes and whatnot. And like hunting by bike is something that I've been experimenting with a bit too, to the extent even of, I think in the next couple of years, I'm going to try and start doing like combining bike touring and hunting. So I'll like ride and camp off of a bike and hunt off of it as well. So I'm trying to figure out like how to do that basically. But like if they're, you know, the closest WMA to me is like 45 minutes by car. So it's probably like a 2 hour bike ride. So it's like, are there ways for me to like ride a bike there, hunt for a couple of days, ride back? So starting to try and figure that out, but we'll see what happens.
So let's explore this for a second. You said you and Parker have similar tastes in music. I talked to Parker probably every day, at least once a day on the phone, right? Admittedly, I probably talk to him on the phone more than I do my wife most days, right? I have no idea what kind of music Parker listens to. So you said you have a shared interest there. What kind of music do you listen to?
So a lot of hardcore punk, metal, that kind of stuff. Like I was in a bunch of bands coming up, and I mean, that's like part of my story as a hunter too. Like I was an Eagle Scout, like really into the outdoors when I was a kid, and then moved to the city and like completely went away from it. And like completely was just in like music, tattoos, like touring, playing shows, you know, doing that kind of stuff, like zero interest in anything like outdoors oriented. And as I got older, I realized like how much I missed it and like kind of started falling back into it. And I've always had a big interest in like food and sustainability and those things. And so it just seemed like a kind of natural origin overall. But I know like Parker was a musician. I think he played guitar for a long time. I played drums in a bunch of bands and stuff. And so, you know, like it's, I started following him on Instagram and watching the videos and stuff. And I was like, oh, this dude kind of looks like me. Like, and it's like one of the first times I'd ever really like seen that.
Yeah.
And I'm totally like self-taught hunter. Like I didn't have like a mentor or anything really. So it's like, I learned how to hunt from like YouTube and reading books and honestly, just like a ton of trial and error and like getting out in the woods and like screwing up a bunch of stuff. Like I didn't, you know, I was washing my clothes with Tide until, you know, for the first like 2 years I was hunting before I realized that like, that's not a thing you do.
Might not be the wisest thing, right?
Right. Exactly. So like, you know, there's, and just like meeting friends, like obviously like guys in the bike racing community, like some of those dudes hunt, and I started meeting like some other like music dudes that hunted, and it seemed like once I started kind of making it more public that I was like hunting and like making that a thing, like guys kind of came out of the woodwork and were like, oh, I did that too. And, you know, then I started learning stuff and getting a little bit more of that like community support that I needed, which is like another awesome thing about the Patreon is like, it's there, you know, like there, it's nice being able to share that success picture or just post them up, you know, something like I'm freezing my ass off today cause it's raining and, you know, and that kind of stuff and getting the peanut gallery to chime in on some of that stuff. So,
you know, it's funny. You said I didn't have any mentors and I'm like, yeah, I had mentors, but they didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So I might as well have not had mentors. Like I had to unlearn a lot of really bad habits, you know? I remember one time one of the like killers of the camp was like, man, you boys don't kill anything because you don't hold your farts in. If you don't hold your fart, they can tell you're a predator when they smell your fart. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. I mean, you're a 70-year-old dude. You've got a bunch of deer on the wall. So clearly, you know, I mean, like, so I remember like as a teenager, like shaking, trying to like hold farts in, you know, and like not die.
Right.
I think that's kind of what's coolest about the Patreon group, though, is, you know, you talked about you're in Virginia, Parker's in Alabama, I'm in Florida, we got guys in Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky and Missouri, and there's like-minded guys everywhere, but so seldom do we find ourselves on the same city block like we once used to. Like growing up, it used to be, at least for me and a lot of people, everybody on the block, you could find two or three guys that did what you did, right? And there was some companionship there, and now hunting isn't cool anymore, right? A lot of people, it catches kind of a lot of hell. So people try to keep it on the DL, I think a lot in the urban areas. I mean, today I was hanging from my new lockdown, trying to get, you know, my setup done in the front yard. I live in the country. I should point that out with my 7-mag bolt action with the bolt completely removed. It's completely safe. And I'm sitting there in the tree, you know, like, well, can I get a good anchor here? Yep. I can get a good anchor here. And so like had to learn my setup and it's like growing up, I could have done that anywhere I wanted to. And now you can't. Right.
Yeah.
And so things have changed.
Yeah. I mean, I live in a city, so you know, and like we've got, I mean, we live in kind of a neighborhood and I've got trees that I can hang on and stuff. But when I do, I can like see into my neighbor's yards and
exactly
all those types of things. And, I definitely keep it a little more on like the DL here with a lot of that, but I have like, as I've started, you know, I'm lucky to have a fairly active like backcountry hunters and English chapter here. And as I've like started going to some of those things and just like meeting people, you know, I've connected to a lot more guys that are like me in this area that are, you know, tattooed, have an interest in the arts, like all, you know, everything, the antithesis of what I feel like a lot of people perceive a hunter to be, which is like what I identified so much with Parker with too. It's just like, you know, you're not that like, I don't even know how to put it, but like, you're not that like redneck, you know?
Yeah.
Farm boy type, whatever it is. And that's fine if that's your thing, like more power to you. Like, I don't care, you know, but it's nice to be able to talk to people about, you know, similar interests and all those types of things like outside of hunting. So it's an interesting thing, but the, you know, the political sphere here is definitely a big fan of it in a lot of ways. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just kind of an undercurrent anywhere. Anytime you get into the urban areas, there's just this disconnect. You know, I heard it once said that we've grown accustomed to swiping a card or paying for someone else to get their hands dirty so that we don't have to. Mm-hmm. And while that convenience was great, the end result is everybody's just completely disconnected from, you know, my wife, dude, I don't know if you really listen much to Chasing Tales before, so you may not have heard the story, but my wife was like one bad encounter away from being anti-hunting when we met.
Yeah.
You know, I was like the epitome of redneck, and I'm not. I'm just a good old country boy by all stretch of imagination, but using that like PC spectrum, right? Like redneck being like this derogatory thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so like we got married or we started dating and I'm explaining it. I'm like, it's no different than you paying somebody to kill a deer, kill a cow and put the meat on the table. And she goes, yeah, but you enjoy the killing. I'm like, well, kind of. I enjoy the process. You know, there's like this just overall disconnect that's there, but it's not there in the Patreon group. You got 93 guys cheering you on.
Yeah. Yeah. And they get it. And I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, I'm in the same, like, I hit this point where I was just like, so I was, I guess I should like preface some of this too with, before I started hunting, I was a vegetarian for 18 years.
What?
And, oh yeah. And like 180'd, right? well, I did it for exactly what you're talking about. Like I did it to like pay attention to what I was eating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, and that seemed like the solution. And then I hit this point where I was just like, I'm still just eating shit out of boxes. And like monocropping corn is just as bad for the environment as like factory farming.
Yeah.
Pigs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I like, you know, and I happened to just discover like Meat Eater and some other stuff like that at the same time. And in some books, and I was like, well, maybe there's like a third option here, you know? And that's kind of like how I fell into it. But I mean, even still, like you're saying, it's like, I enjoy a successful hunt and like that thrill and like feeling it all come together and like all those types of things. Like, I don't necessarily always enjoy like pulling the trigger, you know? And I think that's something that I still struggle with a lot, like killing an animal and the just, you know, everything that goes into that from like an emotional perspective. But I enjoy the rewards and I enjoy like hosting dinners and whatnot and being like, this whole table is wild game that I harvested, you know? And,
once in a while, it's fun to go with like just full blown redneck on these fish. This is like high tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
And I enjoy that, like, the majority of meat that we eat is, like, deer that I harvest. And so that makes it worth that, you know, bit of discomfort, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny. Every time I pull out like a pack of steaks, like there's always this thought for me, and maybe I'm just weird. I don't know. You guys shoot me a message. Let me know if I'm weird about this. I know I'm weird in general, but like every time I pull out a pack of steaks or meat or chicken or pork chops, fill in the blank. I always give it the sniff test because it's like, I don't trust it. Right. Like I have to like inspect it because I don't trust it. When I go out there and I grab wild venison or wild pork or whatever it is that I packaged, I know when I put it in that dadgum freezer. I know when it how it was handled. And I pull that thing out, I slap it in the pan, and I just go. And there's just this different peace of mind that's there. And I think that's – there's a million reasons why we might do what we do, and we just covered a couple of them. But I kind of want to talk about tonight's topic, and that is you having a banner year, dude. When we started this year off – really getting to know each other starting in the summer, which, by the way, you joined Patreon July 31st. I looked it up. It was about that time that you and I started to get to know each other. You were poor mouth in the year. You were keeping expectations really low, like a good head football coach. You know, you were managing expectations under promise and over deliver. And then about 2/3 of the deer that have been killed in Virginia have come by your hand, man. So I kind of want to break that down. Like, what?
I'll take that.
what's been going on?
Yeah. well, you know, a lot of things. I think like I started out bad mouthing the year because last year I killed a booner. And
did you really?
You know, biggest buck to date, 22-inch spread, 7-point.
Holy crap.
You know, yeah, huge buck on a lease that I've had for years. No, just some private land. I met the guy through some other stuff, and it was just a private farm. And you know, I'd got permission to hunt there for years, and a couple other boys had hunted there forever and had known this guy. You know, he's real old. The landowner's real old. And the other guys have stands everywhere and cameras everywhere. So they saw me kill this deer. There's basically no way to avoid them seeing me kill this deer, and went and whined to the owner, and I got kicked off that lease because of it, even though there was no prior arrangement about like the size of buck that I could kill or, you know, the sex of deer that I could kill or anything like that. They were just hurt that I took a nice deer off the property and they didn't. So I lost that lease. And then this year, going into the year, I had lost another lease, and the other lease that I had was just like not producing. You know, so I was like really not kind of stoked for this year because I didn't have anywhere to hunt. I was like, I'm going to be doing public land all year, which is like fine. That's awesome. I think it's a great resource that we have, but we all know like it's a grind. And in Virginia, like there's not a lot and it gets hammered. And so it's, you know, it's a lot of work to kill deer on public land here. But at the last minute, like an old friend of mine realized that his property qualified for urban archery here. And so he was like, yeah, you can come hunt. Let's do it. I have deer in my yard every day. And so that opened up. And then the other lease that I thought I lost came back around, and
hell yeah, you know,
I got permission there. And so suddenly like these two great properties opened up, and I was able to kind of align my season accordingly to that. So, you know, again, like living in a city and whatnot, that urban archery is like a big thing. Virginia has an abundance of overpopulation in urban areas. Like if you know anything about Taylor Chamberlain, like he can talk to you about hunting Fairfax all day. And he and I have done some stuff together along those lines. And I mean, the overpopulation in Northern Virginia, especially, is ridiculous. I think that guy kills like 330 some odd deer a year. Like Fairfax has a year round open season. Cause it's just that bad.
Yeah.
And there, a county next to me here, is getting to be that way. Like the per capita of hunters is extremely low and the per capita of deer is extremely high. And so, that urban property just happened to fall in that range. So our urban season here opens like September 8th. So I was able to start hunting like super early. And that's where I took that first 7-point off of his property, which was awesome. And that was after missing two does because my drop away rest on my bow was screwed up. And so my arrows were flying out like crazy straws, man. Like they were, it was bad.
Oh, I remember you having that dialogue in, was that in Patreon, right?
Yeah. It was. And you actually helped me a lot because you were like, paper tune your damn bow.
Yeah.
I kept being like, no, I just bought it. It's fine. Like it shoots good. I'm hitting my foam target. Like, you know, like I'm hitting my foam target with broadheads, with, you know, field points, everything. Like it's shooting like it should. And you were like, paper tune your damn bow. And so after I missed that second doe, and these are like chip shots. I mean, I could have spat on her. She's like 10 yards under me, like should have been a dead deer. I was like, all right, I'm going to go paper tune my bow. And so I went to the bow shop and paper tuned it. And sure enough, I mean, I sent a picture to the Patreon group. That rip in that paper was like 4 inches
wide. It was bad.
Like, it was huge.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. So I spent a couple hours there and shot like 50 arrows and got that thing dialed. And then sure enough, like 2 weeks later, I had a nice 7-point like feed in. And it was funny because the homeowner was actually taking his kids to school and texted me and was like, there's a buck in the front yard. He's coming right now. And I looked up and sure enough, like that buck was walking straight into the backyard and had a nice like 25 yard broadside shot and just absolutely smoked him. So, which was awesome and would not have happened if I hadn't have taken the advice of the Patreon group and gone and paper tuned my bow. So.
You know, there's always this fine line between like knocking somebody over the head, right? And like letting them make their own mistakes. But there was so much frustration that you had felt up until that point. I remember that. Yeah. I was like, dude, I think I even said this. I said, if the car doesn't start, the first thing you do is check your battery, right? And that's paper tuning, is you start by checking your battery. And I'm glad you did because it fixed it. like that.
Yeah, it did. 100%. And that's just like, that's one of those like new hunter things to me where I was just like, you know, this bow, I'm standing in my backyard and I hung a saddle set up in my backyard and was shooting from the tree and from flat ground at 25 yards and was, I mean, just zero ringing it, you know, arrow after arrow after arrow. And so I was like, well, it can't, like, it's got to be something else. Like, maybe I have, like, I'm target panicking or I don't know what it is. But I guess it was just something about how those arrows were flying that were just not working the way they should. So as soon as I took y'all's advice and actually went and did it, fixed that problem. So, and killed that buck.
Yeah. I'm glad you did, man. I'm glad you got that. How far did he run? So like in the urban setting, I'm always curious, like how far did he run?
So this is a 2-acre property.
Huge.
Yeah. And it's like, it's nice because there's like the house and then it's like the backyard is a straight drop down into like this little ravine that's back there. And I'm able to sit like kind of midpoint on this like little ridge, like saddle that's in there basically. And it's just acorns like all around just dropping. And so I shot him and he ran straight under me. And I mean, like, you know, just he splattered the tree I was on, just covering blood, and ran up through the neighbor's backyard and then cut back down into that ravine. And like, as the crow flies from me to him, probably 50 yards, but like the circuit he took was probably like 120 or so. But my permission knows his neighbor super well, and we were able to text them and just be like, hey, we need to walk through your backyard and trail this deer. And I mean, it was like a red carpet the whole way to him. So it was, I couldn't have asked for a better situation in an urban setting. Cause that's always a big stress for me. Like, I don't want to shoot a deer and have it like run out into the street and die at the bus stop in front of a bunch of kids or something.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's always like a huge stressor, but it's nice. So just the way that property sets up, it's like almost any way I'm going to shoot a deer, they're going to run down
and
die like in the ravine. So it's kind of a great setup.
You got to love that, dude.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
So from there, it's all been all bucks this year, right?
Mm-hmm, so far,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Does just aren't worth your time, I guess.
Dude, I've barely seen it. Really. Like, I missed those two, which was what led me to painting the bow. Like, those were both does. But I hadn't been seeing as many since. So
you're just a big buck killer, man. You got that Boone and Crockett, and it's all downhill from there, or uphill, I guess, is how you should look at it.
Yeah.
Break down this next one for us, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that one was muzzleloader season.
Yep.
I think like the second week or so here. And that's out at that much bigger property that I have, which is just an awesome place to hunt. And it's probably like one of the worst approaches into a hunt I think I've had in like a minute. Like, it was bad. Like, woke up late, got there late, had to poop on a tree, like... You know, somehow managed to get turned around going in, even though I knew where I was wanting to go, and couldn't find my tree. Like, just, I don't know. I just got kind of tree blind, I guess, for a minute. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, so I was stomping all over the place, and it's all, you know, just dry leaves and dead sticks back there, and making just an absolute ton of noise. And finally find a tree, and I'm just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going up this tree, it's climbable, like I'm doing it, I know I'm in the general area of where I want to be, so screw it, I'm up this tree. Because I'd been watching deer like in this crossing for a while. I'd hung up 100 yards down the road from it a couple of times and just watched deer using this crossing. So I was like, well, obviously I need to scoot over. So I was like, I knew I was in the vicinity of that crossing. Got up the tree, clanked every stick on everything I could the whole way up the tree. It's like gray light by this point. Get to the top of the tree, realized that my pull rope had come untied. So my rifle and my pack are at the bottom of the tree. Had to climb all the way back down, get my rifle and my pack, climb all the way back up.
God.
I mean, at this point, I'm just like, I'm hot, like figuratively physically. Like, I'm sweating, I'm pissed off, like annoyed at myself for not having my shit together a little better. I was out there with a buddy and I was texting him. I was like, I think that's like the worst I've ever done this. Like, everything about this. And he was like, yeah, I didn't have a great climb either. I just got up. And I was like, well, at least we're both in the same boat. And I no sooner like sent that text to him than I heard that rustling behind me. And so I turn, see this nice like 7-point coming through. He's on a line, like moving quick. He's offside, like weak side. You know, I'm in a saddle. So I'm like trying to get earplugs in real quick because I'm shooting a muzzle loader and trying to get the rifle off of my like HYS strap and slung across my bridge so that I can shoot offside. As he comes into a shooting lane, I happen to get most of my earplugs like enough in that I'm like, all right, cool. I probably won't do more damage than I did like being in bands for years. and I like murp him and shoot. And, you know, it's black powder, so there's nothing but a smoke screen in front of my place. Yep. I've got earplugs in, so I can't hear him running. And so I'm like, man, I yanked the shot super bad. I, like, rushed it. You know, I was offside. You know, it was just everything was wrong. This whole morning was wrong. And I felt bad about it. My buddy texted me immediately. I was like, you got something to tell me? And I was like, well, I took a shot. I was like, I don't feel good about it. But it happened. I was like, I'm going to just stay up for a while and see what I can see. And I had my binos out and was glassing all around, like trying to see blood, trying to see the deer. Like couldn't see anything, had no idea. And so after about a half an hour, I was just like, it's eating me up. I got to get down and look. So I climbed down and looked, and there was blood like right where he was standing, like immediately. And I trailed him back probably about 150 yards again as the crow flies from where I shot him to where he fell. And I mean, there's blood trail the whole way, and I double lunged him, and it was a great shot. And I was like, all right, well, there we go. So time to start dragging him out.
That's awesome, man.
So yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine not too long back, and he had one of those hunts where, and everybody realizes this at some point in time, there are these hunts where everything that could go wrong goes wrong. And for whatever reason, those, it's like the universe corrects. And it's like, if you just were willing to push through that, you end up getting rewarded on the backside. And he was having one of those same kind of days, like only have like 45 minutes left to shoot light. I'm like, you're already in the tree. Like, who cares what noise you made, right? Just stay. You're already there. You only have 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he ends up shooting this really great deer, and he calls me. He's like, man, I really appreciate the words. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. How long did it take you from the time you saw the deer to the time you killed it? He's like, 5 minutes. I was like, 5 minutes real? Like, real 5 minutes? He goes, yeah, 5 minutes. Like, how many times can you fit 5 minutes into 45?
Right.
Like, eight.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Or nine, rather. And I think he said eight. But anyways, I was like, well, there you go. You had nine opportunities. I was like, you can break it down even further. And you could say, how many times can you start that 5-minute window within 45 minutes before the 5 minutes runs out? And he's like, right. I was like, how many seconds can you? He's like, I get it. I was like, I'm just saying, like, no one sees the deer and 20 minutes later kills the deer. It's always like, bam, bam, bam. And so if we can recognize that every moment's your opportunity, man, you know, it takes no time.
I think like the patience thing has been a big learning experience for me with hunting overall.
Yeah.
Just like stay in the tree, you know, like when I first started, I think part of that was also just like bad gear and I was getting cold really easy, but I would only stay in the tree until like 8:30 or so. And that, you know, now I hang till lunch at least if I can. But yeah, you're right. It's just like, but it takes time to learn that too.
Definitely.
You know, those, the hangs where you stick it out are the ones where like those coyotes come through or those turkeys come through or that buck comes through or whatever it is. But yeah, it is like, that's one of the things I love about hunting so much is just like, A, it's totally unpredictable.
Definitely.
You know, it's like the best laid plans thing where it's like, you could do everything right and you're not going to see anything ever, or you could do everything wrong and kill
the biggest buck,
the best deer of your life.
Yeah.
Or it's vice versa. Like
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, sometimes it works the opposite too. Like last year I scouted this property and, like found this crossing. And it was the first time I'd ever really read sign like that. Like it was just like this mud pit that was just chewed up. It looked like a highway. And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to hang a set here now, come back first thing tomorrow morning, go up this tree. And I did that. I shot a buck right at first light, you know, first muzzleloader deer, first deer out of a saddle, first time I'd ever gone into a place and like read sign and hung up and like killed a deer mm-hmm. because of it. You know, I mean, that one like read the script, you know?
Yeah.
Like 100%. So it's like, you just never know, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
That's the truth is you really don't know. I mean, it's one of those things I heard one time. It's like, I'd rather be lucky than good. Right. With hunting, that's the case, man. It's a matter of, if you look at some of the biggest killers, why do they kill as often as they do? Why does THP kill as many deer as they do? They freaking live in the woods. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, and YouTube only allows them to show so much, right? So you don't see all the smaller deer they pass and all the different encounters. At some point in time, they got to cut that video down, right? Mm-hmm. And why does Dave Owens kill as many turkeys as he does? Shane Simpson. Simple opportunities. Yep. Number of times you're out there in the woods, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, you got to put in the time. And, I know I really love, Tony Peterson's like Foundations podcast.
Yep.
Cause he talks a lot about that. He's like, you know, being in the woods is huge. And then, he talks a lot about just like, again, that patience thing of just like, you know, you got to stick it out. You got to keep trying and you got to just kind of keep going for it. And like, things will happen, you know, but like, you have to break that mentality of like, you know, seeing those Midwest hunters that go and sit in a tree for 20 minutes over corn or whatever and shoot a Boone and Crockett buck. Cause that's just not it.
Yeah.
Which is what I loved about Parker too. Cause like, he like, that's another thing I feel like I've learned over the last couple of years, partially because of him. It's just like, you like, get up in there, man. Mm-hmm. Like, don't sit that cornfield, like get back in the nasty stuff, like get in that swamp, like, you know, paddle in somewhere or hike in somewhere or whatever it is. And I've really been pushing myself to do that a lot the last couple of years too. And it's been paying off for sure.
It's
kind of, you know,
it's interesting though, because we had, Chicken Buck, he comes on and talks about how he went to Missouri and he went 2 miles deep, didn't see anything, right? And then Parker goes to Missouri, hunts for four whole days, deep, really, really deep, and doesn't see anything. And I sent him a text one afternoon and he's telling me, I don't see anything. This is the hardest I've hunted. This sucks. I'm like, yeah, dude, it totally sucks. I said, maybe you're too deep. And he's like, well, I'm on the side of the field right now. I'm like 200 yards off the side of the field. He sees a deer. He shoots his Missouri deer shortly thereafter. Down here in the South, it's different. You got to be deep. You got to be in that thicket. And it's just a different type of
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
There's just a different type of approach you have to have, and Parker's aggressive mindset in the South is indicative of what works in the South, man. You've just got to be aggressive and swing those fences over and over again. And Parker busts a lot of deer.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't be scared to do that.
No,
like, I've learned that, like, you can't be scared to do that. And like, you know, I don't have exclusive like leases or anything anywhere. So I've learned a lot too, of just like hunting the hunters, you know, like, you can see where other guys have cameras or sets or boot tracks or whatever. And I play off of them just as much as I play off of, you know, scrapes or rubs or whatever that I'm finding. And, you know, like, Parker's case might be some of that too, where it's like, if everybody's going 2 miles back, like, maybe the deer are right up on the side of the road,
because
they don't want to be back where all those dudes are in there mucking around.
I think in Parker's case, it was the rut. And where are the does? The does aren't going to be 3 miles deep, right? It's November. You're hunting the rut. You got to be where the does are. You got to be where the deer are. Same thing with Matt. When in the last episode Matt was on, he was hunting November deer with an October mindset. And it wasn't until he flipped that switch that suddenly he, you know, found the success he had. And I'm envious of you, because when you start to get up to Virginia, you start to hit this hybrid country, I think, at least based on the feedback I've received. Never been there, never hunted there. But a lot of the tactics you hear, like on Wired to Hunt, can apply. And a lot of the the stuff that you hear Parker talk about can apply. And so you kind of have this cool game of being able to, like, you know, you have a wealth of resources. Whereas I remember distinctly in the early 2000s, picking up Outdoor Life and going through it and being like, that's cool, but we don't have fence rows. First off, I don't even know what the hell a fence row is.
Yeah.
Like, what is a fence row? Like, you know, a pinch point. There's just this thing as a, well, there turned out to be pinch points, but it didn't look the same, you know? And so there was nothing relatable, but you got the benefit of now in 2020 to 2023, you're kicking butt because all this content you've got.
Yeah, it's great. Like, that's an awesome thing from a learning perspective, just to like have all of that. And I definitely like am a sponge. I'm just that type of person. I'm super obsessive about stuff. And, you know, I soak it up. I love it. But yeah, like, Virginia is an interesting state, and where I live is like especially interesting because we're like an hour from the mountains, an hour from, you know, salt flats. So we have a lot of like a big range of country. You know, I'm like 45 minutes from the Great Dismal Swamp, which has got like the one of the largest black bear populations on the East Coast. And, you know, so it's just like a lot of interesting terrain for us. And we have agriculture, and we've got, you know, I'm in like the Piedmont area. So it's all like pre-mountain terrain in a lot of cases. So I'm not hiking up like 2,000 or 3,000 feet of elevation or whatever, but I've got like some good like ridges and valleys and stuff to kind of work around a bit, on top of the agriculture. And then, you know, a lot of hardwoods, a lot of mast producers. It's a nice range, and I'm still figuring out how to use it, because I definitely don't have all the answers. There are dudes in Virginia that are doing way better than I am. So.
How many buck tags do you have left? How many deer tags do you have left?
4 tags left, 1 buck tag left.
Okay.
We get 6 a year in my portion of Virginia, so 3 bucks, 3 does. So I'm definitely sitting on that last buck tag, unless that next like wall hanger comes through. I'm probably not going to take another buck, but I'd like to shoot another doe if I can.
Yeah. I mean, how much longer do you have in your season?
Sheesh. I think rifle here closes like January 8th this year. And then, like I was saying, those are super overpopulated counties. Like, one of them runs until like the end of April. And then there are some counties, you know, an hour north of me that are basically year round. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But I also hit like a burnout point at some point where I'm just like, I'm going to go fishing.
So. I don't hit that point. I never hit that point. But what I do hit is a point where suddenly my mind starts thinking about turkeys. And so I feel you. Scales don't get it. It spurs, but you know, tomato, tomato. Dude, I'm pulling for you, man. What is your approach going to be to fill that last buck tag, since you're waiting on something bigger? What are you going to do?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, I've been listening to so many like podcasts and stuff recently about just like the acorn production this year, and like how that is apparently it's just like a banner year for mast dropping. And so all the leaves here have definitely like kind of come down. Like, there's a lot less browse, there's a lot less of that kind of stuff. Like, ag for the most part's kind of like getting cleared out in a lot of places. So I think I might kind of push more into like some of those big like mass production areas and look for, you know, acorns and stuff like that. Or water. Like, we've had a very dry winter so far, so like water might be an approach for me. But beyond that, I'm not quite, you know, not quite sure. So
that's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking time. I appreciate chatting with you. I'm looking, are you coming to deer camp? I can't recall.
Next year.
Hopefully. Okay. You got to come to turkey camp. That'll be a blast.
Cool.
In the spring. But, man, I'm pulling for you. I'm hoping we do a part 2 of this when you kill another Boone and Crockett with that last tag, man.
Yeah, I would love that. And, you know, we should get you guys up here and do some Virginia hunting at some point, too.
I want to come shoot a bear. That's what I wanted to come do. Let's plan a bear hunt.
That's on my list.
You guys can't see it, but this Joker's grinning ear to ear. He hasn't looked this excited talking about deer. Yeah. He looked this excited talking about fishing there for a moment, and then I brought up bear, and the guy's got a smile ear to ear right now. So
I think just, you know, I haven't yet, so it's something new.
Well, dude, I appreciate it. I got one final question for you, and then I'm going to let you go.
Shoot.
Did you lose a fight with the weed whacker? Where'd the beard go?
Oh, man. So the beard came off. One of my clients is this incredible nonprofit called Beyond Boundaries, and they do outdoor adventure for people with physical and mental disabilities, and for vets, and for people in recovery. You know, so like rafting trips, climbing trips, fishing, all this kind of stuff for all these underserved groups. And every year they do a mustache growing contest in November with another nonprofit here called M4K. And so, you know, showing solidarity with my client, and also just because I really believe in Beyond Boundaries' mission of bringing outdoor adventure to everybody and bringing accessibility in the outdoors to everybody. I took my beard off and have been growing this awful little mustache that I have here. I feel like I look like I'm trying to sell used DVDs by the side of the road or something, but, you know, it's been a good time. So I think collectively our team has raised like almost 35K from Beyond Boundaries. And I personally have raised like almost $2,000 from Beyond Boundaries.
That's so awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So, it's been a blast. I love that organization. I'm happy to be able to support them.
That's awesome, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Guys, if you want to be a part of a group of guys that gives all kinds of awesome feedback, that you get to hear stories like this literally during deer season, it's on the daily. Brett's got a deer count of how many deer have been killed, and it's, or big game animals have been killed, and the deer as well. He keeps all this data, and we talk about it in the group all the time. Check out the link below. It's in the show notes, Patreon. Go check out Trailhead Creative. Show him some love. And until next time, y'all enjoy the great outdoors.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents. Anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.